Hello, Talking Golf Getaways fans. Welcome to Scotland Week with Mitch and Darren. We're honored to share a week's worth of conversations with some of our best friends from the world of golf, talking about what is undoubtedly one of our favorite destinations. But before you dive into the golf, the history, the lodging, the scotch, and oh yes, the haggis, we wanted to offer a few words of thanks. First, we wouldn't know all that we know about Scotland, nor have been able to experience so much of that wonderful country without the great people at visitscotland.com, including David Connor and Alan Grant. For everything you want to know about taking a Scotland vacation, make sure you check out visitscotland.com. And we can never say enough about our friends at Bonnie Wee Golf. David Harris and his father Colin, a true Scottish gentleman if ever we've known one, who's also the operator of theluxurycoach.com. If you're planning a trip to Scotland, Colin is so much more than just your driver. He's a passionate golfer, a traveling companion, an experienced golf tour guide, and most importantly, a great friend. And once you've traveled with Colin Harris and the Luxury Coach, you'll never want to explore Scotland any other way. With that said, welcome to Scotland Week. We hope you enjoy listening as much as we enjoy talking about the home of golf.
Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren, brought to you by Pacific Gales. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. I'm Mitch Lawrence in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the seaside golf capital of the world. Darren Bunch out there in California. And Darren, do we have a podcast episode today? One of our favorite people talking about perhaps our favorite place.
Well, definitely one of our favorite places, but it could be our absolute favorite place, one of those places we've talked about wanting to just go for a week and exploring so much of it, and that is St. Andrews. And we're going to talk about it with Shane Bacon. He's back to lend some more of his expertise. And, you know, Shane was a caddy at St. Andrews for a few months, and he's going to tell us some just classic caddy stories. He's going to give us kind of his insider tips about St. Andrews, and can't wait to have a full conversation just about St. Andrews with Shane Bacon.
Well, it's something we all at some point have thought about. Wouldn't it be cool to do that? And Shane's somebody who actually went ahead and did it. So I can't wait to talk to him about that. We're glad you found us at golfnewsnet.com on iTunes, podcasts, and audio. Boom. Where is it, Darren?
Boom.
There it is. I always wait for it. You can find Darren on Twitter at Getaways Golf and on Instagram at Golf Getaways. You can find me on both at Mitch Lawrence, L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E. And before we get to Shane and St. Andrews, we want to talk about a place that is, for both of us, it couldn't be more exciting to talk about Pacific Gales and what's about to happen. If you haven't heard about it, new oceanfront golf course project planned along the coast of Oregon, about 30 minutes south of Bandon. And you need to check out pacificgales.com. You'll get a sneak peek and also some really stunning sight photography from our own Brian Orr.
Yep, and definitely, you know, what's even better about this is you can be part of making Pacific Gales a reality with the Pacific Gales Founders Club, which we believe just might be the best deal in golf. It's a lifetime of links golf for you and your family in an unforgettable location, plus a host of other benefits and VIP treatment at what some are calling the most exciting new golf project in America.
And I have to say, just seeing, you've been up there, you've been there a lot, but just the pictures and seeing what the location, what the landscape is like, views of the Pacific Ocean, the Cape Blanco Lighthouse, Port Orford Reef Islands, Humbug Mountain, which might be my favorite name for a mountain, and a whole lot more. And it's got a dunesy golf course design that's going to be, it's really going to rival the greatest golf courses across the United States. So we are excited about Pacific Gales. For more info, follow at Pacific Gales, that's G-A-L-E-S, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or go to pacificgales.com today.
Today.
Glad you're with us here on Talking Golf Getaways, and we are thrilled to have Shane Bacon with us to talk about what I'm sure for the three of us, for Darren and Shane and for me, is our favorite place in the world of golf. I'll be stunned if that isn't the case when we talk to Shane about St. Andrews. Shane, of course, you know Fox Sports coverage of the U.S. Open, the U.S. Senior Open, other majors, the four ball. I love all the stuff that you're doing. The interviews have been great. Shane, you're in Arizona now, and we're happy you're with us to talk about your experiences in St. Andrews. I'm sure we'll cover when the three of us actually got to go and experience it together, but we want to kind of focus on your experiences in the home of golf. Welcome to Talking Golf Getaways again.
Well, I appreciate it. And as you guys know, I don't think there's a place in the world I would rather talk about it. To my left is a painting I think I've had since my days at St. Andrews. That's the golf course and the city. And I think anybody that walks in my office always goes, where'd you get that print? They want one just like it, because it really shows you how beautiful the golf course is in contrast to the city there that's so amazing.
We're going to get started. I know a year and a half ago now, the time is flying. Shane and you and I and some of our friends got to experience it together. But I know you're anxious to talk about St. Andrews too. All of us feel the same way.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. And I think the biggest thing that we wanted to talk about with Shane is, you know, he has an experience with St. Andrews that goes long before he was in the golf business. You know, he was there, he lived in the town, and we wanted that kind of insider perspective, plus maybe get a few funny caddy stories out of him from his time there.
So Shane, let's just kind of give people a sense of it. You went to the University of Arizona. You grew up in Marshall, Texas, which is, this whole trip to me is kind of interesting. But Texas, then University of Arizona, give us a kind of a quick walk to what brought you in 2006 to spend the summer working as a caddy at St. Andrews.
Well, my best friend in college, I lived with him the last 3 years. He's probably one of the few people I've ever met that's as obsessed with golf as I am. And when he was in high school in Scottsdale, he actually got a chance to caddy at Estancia as kind of a summer job. And of course, Estancia, top 100 course, very, very, very nice, very private here in Scottsdale. And he met a St. Andrews caddy that would come over in the off season and spend some time over here. And basically, we batted around this idea for a couple of years, joking, mostly sitting on the roof of the house we lived at, drinking really, really cheap and horrible beer. And we would bat around this idea that when we graduate, let's just go to St. Andrews and work for a little bit. That'd be fun. Of course, not really ever thinking that it would come to fruition. And then as we neared that second semester, senior year, we were the only two guys that were going to get out of there in 4 years of our group of people. A lot of them were taking 4.5 and 5 years. And we just, the idea just kept coming along, and we kept talking about it, and plane tickets got purchased. The funny thing was, we flew over, we had no idea where we were going to stay, and we had no idea if we were going to get jobs to caddy. This guy told us that he'd help us out, but, you know, we thought if we don't get those, we could work at a pub, or, you know, we can really do anything that they'll allow us to do and just kind of live in St. Andrews for the summer and play golf if they allow us to play golf. And we got there. My friend Will got to St. Andrews the day before I got there. I land, I get my bags, I take the train up from Edinburgh, and I meet Will, and he'd already caddied around at King's Barnes. I said, whoa. So we really do have jobs. And of course, I think the next day, you know, we met with the caddy master at St. Andrews and went out on a temporary type of job. We actually had to hand out surveys to the players when we finished. And after 3 or 4 loops, the players were all giving us positive reviews, and he said, you guys are good to go. And that was the rest of the summer.
So you hadn't really had any, in terms of going, of planning and having to do anything beforehand in terms of caddying there?
We really, really didn't. I'd played St. Andrews when I studied abroad in London. So I had actually played the golf course before. I played it with my uncle a couple of times, actually. And Will had never seen the golf course. So you talk about the blind leading the blind. I mean, Will was out on a golf course, as you guys know, not exactly the easiest one to navigate. And he was relying heavily on the yardage book and relying heavily on some of the people that were the caddying alongside with him. And, you know, to be fair, those caddies were extremely helpful and very nice in the sense of helping us out as well. But, you know, with caddies, and I think you guys would agree with this, a caddy relationship with a player, especially at a resort or at a golf course where you're only going to know the guy for 4.5, 5 hours, to me is just about as much about the relationship as it is about the knowledge of the golf course. And that's one thing that Will and I were always, you know, kind of leaning on was, you know, conversation and just talking to the player and helping him out and making him feel comfortable. And I think, you know, a lot of the time that's just as important as giving a guy a good read on a 20 footer.
Yeah, definitely. And it's really important, you know, that I guess not really important, but I know from hanging out with you and playing golf with you that you have that sense to be able to put people at ease and talk about pretty much anything in some kind of somewhat comical way. So, you know, I want to go to St. Andrews sometime and have you caddy for me. I think that's what we need to do.
And your bag is really light, so I'm all in on that. I'll tell you, I know you guys wanted to hear a couple of stories. I'll tell you one about bag weight, just because it was one of the more interesting experiences. So you didn't double loop at St. Andrews, and you didn't take pull carts. You had to carry the bags. Of course, it's very old school, the oldest golf course in the world. And I learned quickly that female, you got a tee time assignment. So say I was a 10:30 tee time, okay? You didn't get a player assignment. You just got a tee time. So you basically went up and picked your player. So it wasn't like you're with Darren Bunch. It was you're with, you know, the group 10:30. And what I realized quickly was female golfers, A, don't get really mad when they play, hardly ever, and B, they hit the ball pretty straight. And C, it's a little easier to club them, especially if you're getting, you know, some older female golfers. So I would tend to go for the female golfer, and we would have a great day, and there would be no pressure. And, you know, if they hit a bad putt, they don't blame you for a bad read. And I went to the tee one day, and, you know, I introduced myself to this lady, and she was super nice. And we start to walk down the fairway, and she doesn't have a strap on her bag. And I'm like, well, this is kind of weird. You know, you're just going to have to kind of forearm carry it for 18 holes. This will be an interesting day. I go to pick the thing up. It probably weighs 125 pounds. I mean, it is I can barely lift this thing. I pick it up and I'm like, what in the world do you have in this? And so I ask her, I said, you know, ma'am, what do you got in here? Do you mind if I clean some of the stuff out? And she said, oh, I only wanted to check one bag on the flight. So all my clothes are in there for the trip. So she had all her golf clubs, all her golf balls, and all her clubs with no strap. And after lugging this thing down the fairway with all the might in the world I had, the caddy master actually ran down the fairway and gave me a pull cart to take for the day just so I could actually survive the 18 holes with this lady.
He saw you on your knees going down the first fairway.
It was not easy, let me tell you.
That is classic. Do you have anything else? Do you have any high profile players that you caddied for or anyone like that when you were there?
Yeah, I got a chance to caddy for Cliff Drysdale, who of course is the ESPN tennis broadcaster who's been doing tennis for years. And they were actually over there on their pre-Wimbledon trip where they come and play some golf. And I got a chance, a really unique experience to caddy in the group. I didn't caddy for him, but Peter Thomson, of course, the famed Open champion. And you know, I think he was 77 when he was there with us, and he still, you know, still made a really good move at it. Told us a lot of stories about him winning at St. Andrews and winning some of the other opens he won and winning three in a row. And it was just, you know, again, as a golf nerd, when you see that and hear that, the only thing I was bummed about was that I didn't get his bag. If I'd have known that it was actually him at the moment, I probably would have shoved the other caddy out of the way to try to grab that one.
You would have shoved the lady out of the way that you went for first.
Thrown that 120-pound bag at the other caddy.
Here's the ultimate question for you, Shane, when it comes to caddies. Did you have – or what was the one gratuity that surprised you the most? It could be a big one or a little one.
Well, we did have – Will and I would rarely caddy in the same group just because we actually did that on purpose to avoid – too much conversation and really just kind of, you know, yucking it up and forgetting about our players. And I remember one time we got a group that was all together, and the lady, we finished the round and I think the wife had pulled up to pick up the husband, and the husband was really excited to give us this tip. And we're like, well, this is great. You know? And he's, oh, I've read all about this. And I read some stuff, and he goes in and he pays us, you know, the fee, which was 40 pounds. And then you normally get, you know, between 15 and 20 pound tip. He gives me 50 pounds, which would be a bad tip for the day. I mean, that would be on the low end of what you'd get for a round of golf. And he gives me a sleeve of Titleist Pro Vs, and he's got this huge smile on his face. And I was thinking, this is it, right? What's going on here? Is there money stuffed in the sleeve, you know? And he said, oh yeah, I read this thing that the caddies love getting golf balls. And I'm sitting there thinking, some caddy wrote a blog post that he was screwing with everybody coming over to Scotland, and apparently people actually read this thing and do it. So that was an interesting one. I did get an amazing tip one time because I had to caddy for four players that were coming in from Korea, and there was literally obviously a major language barrier. So I literally had to lay clubs down in front of the players to point them in the correct direction. I did that for 18 holes, all the players, and ended up getting thrown a pretty good amount of money for that.
All four of them you had to do that for?
Well, yeah. So – We learned quickly. Will and I learned very quickly in St. Andrews that the Scottish caddies like to go out early, caddy two loops, and be done by happy hour. Okay, that was kind of their goal. So what we would do is, as you guys know how late it gets dark there in the summer, we would caddy a little later in the morning, go get lunch in the city, and then come back later when all the Scottish caddies had gone and the caddy master was rushing for anybody to loop. So a lot of the times we'd get a foursome with just us being the caddy. We could only carry one bag, but we would give advice and help out everybody else. So basically what would happen was, instead of getting 60 pounds for a bag, we might get 80 for the group, 85 for the group, even 100 pounds at times for this foursome group, because the other guys would throw us 5 or 10 pounds for helping out on reeds and clubs and lines. So that was kind of our way of going around the Scottish guys that wanted to get to the bar as quick as possible. And that was a way for us to make a little bit more money on that second loop.
You mentioned playing late, and we should at least hint at or talk a little bit about the round we played when we were all there. As Mitch mentioned, on our trip where we went to the north of Scotland, we ended the trip at St. Andrews. You were actually the only person who had gotten a tee time through one of your friends there in St. Andrews. And Eric Hart and I went and basically just begged the starter to let us go out after you in essentially an after revenue round. And we played just behind you in the group. And I think we finished up 10:30 at night, something like that, as only the lights from the city were illuminating the 18th. And I mean, what an amazing experience. And even for you, I remember talking about it after all the times you played it. It was a pretty crazy experience that evening.
Well, there was nothing really like that. I mean, you're finishing your day. We played King's Barnes in the morning and played St. Andrews in the afternoon. And I think I threw this up on Twitter at the time, but you know, there's not many 36 hole days that can really, you know, compete with those two played on the same day, considering the beauty of King's Barnes and the history at the Old Course. But you know, playing that late and getting done that late with the sun going down and it really, really pitch dark as you're playing the 18th hole, you know, it's how I kind of played golf when I was a kid. So you're playing golf the way you played when you were a young child, when you'd be out there at the golf course all day long until the sun went down, playing the golf course where the game started. So really, it's kind of a combination of how you started the game and how golf started in general. And so it was just a combination of so many emotions to be able to play the Old Course in that, you know, that time frame and in that way. And I was so happy we all got to do it. I know you guys had an amazing day. You were in the group behind me. And I remember the coach ride back to the hotel in Edinburgh. I mean, we were just grinning the whole time.
I want to just end on one thing, since you guys are getting spiritual about St. Andrews. This is a place that anybody who's been there is changed somehow. And now you're in a position, Shane, where you're doing all these majors and great work for Fox Sports, and you're seeing courses that are fantastic championship venues. But when you were back there coming out of Arizona and you got a chance to spend the summer there, how do you think St. Andrews changed you? What did you grab that you might not have thought about that, looking back at it, you realize now you really did change?
Well, I'll tell you one funny and one serious. The one funny thing I learned from caddying at St. Andrews is how bad most golfers are. I didn't realize that golfers were that bad in general. I mean, you'd get a guy that says that he's a 10 handicap, you'd shoot 100. You'd get a guy that say he was a 12, you'd shoot 95. I just, it was interesting to see golf played a different way and really consistently throughout the few months I was there. What I learned about golf at the same time was how in love with the game so many people are, and how that place is where it all comes together. I would literally walk 5-10 feet behind my player every time they'd walk up the 18th, and I would just watch their faces. They'd be smiling. They'd be looking around. They were taking this moment in. This is a once-in-a-lifetime moment for a lot of people. They're getting to walk up this place that, so, I mean, everybody that's ever played golf has walked the same walk. You know, it's not like Pebble. It's not like Augusta that generations had missed out on playing. This is where every single person that has mattered in this game has walked these grounds before. They've walked over that bridge. They've hit putts on 18. They've found their shots in the Valley of Sin. I mean, these are things that have happened to the greats, the greats, the greats, the games, the guys we only read about now. And I found that so satisfying. I thought watching players walk up 18 was as satisfying as getting the money after the round, because I was living this dream. I was living this bucket list item with all these guys every single day.
One final thing I wanted to ask you, having lived there and spent time there, you know, give us your kind of insider's guide. Give us two or three things that people should do, you know, outside of the Old Course, whether it's other courses to play, whether it's places that you just got to go hang, places you got to check out. You know, tell us what you love to do as a person who was living in the area at the time.
Well, everybody goes to the Jigger Inn, but I do think grabbing a beer at the Jigger Inn is kind of one of those bucket list items. There's a little pub in the town called the Way Pat, and it's a lot of locals go and grab a pint during the week. That was where we'd go play darts. So I'd say going and playing darts at the Way Pat and just feeling the communal feel of the St. Andrews community. You know, it's a small town. I mean, there's not a lot of people that live in it, but that's where those people would go a lot of the time. And we started to spend a lot more time there. That was a lot of fun. And then to me, I think that the best thing that anybody can do when they go is, if you're going to be just in the St. Andrews area, is to grab a rental car and go play, you know, London Golf Club, or go play Lady Banks, or go play Crail. Go play one of these places that, you know, you're not going to see in websites and pictures, but it is where golf is just as much a tradition to their lifestyles as St. Andrews is, if not more, because these are where these communities play their golf at. And it's not far from the old course. I mean, you're talking about a 10-12 minute drive, and you go play these links golf courses that have been around for much longer than any course in America has been around. And you're getting to see and feel this history that's a little bit different than the history at the old course, because the old course is kind of the pinnacle of all that. You're getting to see more of a normal feel of what golf was in Scotland, you know, hundreds of years ago.
Such a great point. Great insight. Those of you listening could tell that the three of us could keep this going for, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 hours without stopping. So, but we'll leave it right there for now. And I'm sure in the future, we'll have a chance to get back and talk some more. You can find Shane at Shane Bacon on Twitter and Instagram, also at the Clubhouse Pod. Catch that great podcast that Shane does, Snapchat, Shane Bacon 11. Thanks for being with us, Shane. We're going to get a chance to talk to you about another of our favorite spots, Bandon Dunes, and then your Emergency 9 is going to come up also. So looking forward to it. Thanks, pal.
Hey, anytime.
And thanks again to our sponsor for this episode, Pacific Gales, exciting new golf course project on the coast of Oregon. It's currently accepting Founders Club members. For more information, follow at Pacific Gales, that's G-A-L-E-S, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Go to pacificgales.com. A lot more information about how you can play. This is just one of the greatest deals you will ever find. A lifetime of links golf in one of America's most picturesque settings. As always, thanks to you, the listeners. Darren and I could not do this without you. Hit us up on Twitter, Darren at Getaways Golf, me at Mitch Lawrence, or use hashtag Talking Golf Getaways, hashtag Emergency 9, or of course, the ever-popular hashtag 2HaggisBags. That will definitely get our attention. If you're enjoying Talking Golf Getaways, don't hesitate to share us on your social media. Rate us on iTunes. Help us spread the word about the best in golf travel. Darren, so long. Talk to you soon. Till next time, like Tom Petty says, keep running down the dream. So long.